I recently read a story in the newspaper. It was about 2 months ago of two young boys, age about 8 and 9 years old, and they lived in a large metropolitan city in the United States. They lived in an apartment building, and they were playing in one of the boys' apartments on the 7th floor. During their course of play, one little boy got mad at the other little boy. They were near a window, so he took the little boy, pushed him out the window, and he fell to his death 7 floors below. Just a matter of a couple weeks ago, I turned on the television, saw a news report of a 9-year-old little boy who took his father's loaded .22 to school, pistol, pointed it at a 7-year-old little girl and said, "Have sex with me or I'll kill you." Fortunately, they got the gun away from him. Just recently, I opened the newspaper and read a story of a 17-year-old young man who his girlfriend told him she wouldn't go to the prom with him. He became distraught. He went home and bought a gun with money that he had saved, went to school, killed her in the hallway, and then killed himself. A year ago, I read an article of a cheerleader who had broken up with her boyfriend. She was distraught about it. She thought she was ugly. She went in the center of the football field, poured gasoline on her, and lit herself and burned to death. Or if you've been watching the news recently, you read the David Brom case of a 18-year-old young man who in the middle of the night, because of animosity towards his parents, took an axe and brutally killed them. These stories are kind of the extreme side of what's going on in life, but they're sort of the tip of the iceberg as to what's happening in America today. And it's alarming. I could go on with story after story of the cruelty, the brutality, and the hopelessness of our society. And of course, what's even more alarming is it's not just occurring among adults, but among the youngest of children. We ask ourselves, what's gone wrong with our world? What's wrong? Basically, what has gone wrong with our society today is that we are a people, we are a nation without moral absolutes and without clear biblical values anymore. Let me give you some examples. A thief is really not a thief anymore in America if he's stealing to take care of his family. We call this blaming crime on socioeconomic problems. It is no longer a personal problem. It is society's problem. And if they had enough money, they wouldn't steal. So that issue is no longer black and white in America, supposedly. Immorality. Immorality is not really immorality anymore. Because if you love the person, that makes it right. Today we would say, if you wear a condom, then it proves you love the person because you're practicing safe sex. It's kind of asinine, isn't it? But that's our society. That's our philosophical understanding in 20th century America. Lying for your employer. Lying in the marketplace. Ethics in the marketplace is one of the number one problems in America today. But if it gets the job done, and besides, everyone else does it. I mean, you know, you go to buy a car, they don't really tell you everything that happened to the car. You're working for your employer, he wants you to tell a client this particular story. It's just part and parcel of the equipment you need today to make it, supposedly, in the marketplace. So it's not really lying. Adultery, sleeping around in your mate, really isn't wrong. In fact, I can take you to the bookstore and give you books that will tell you how to do it effectively. Why? Well, because my mate's not really fulfilling my needs anymore. And I have a right to fulfillment, after all. So it's not wrong. Cheating on your time card, cheating on your employer, isn't really wrong anymore because you're getting taken advantage of anyway, aren't you? And besides, they don't pay you near what you're worth. So it evens out. Now, whether you realize what I'm saying there or not, whether you've consciously ever thought these things, I want you to understand that this is life in modern America today. This is the way people think in America. And these philosophical attitudes have brought ruin on our society, number one. Number two, they have sent real confusing messages to our children, to our young people. And let me give you an example of what I mean. We've been talking about how to keep your kids drug and alcohol free. One of the number one problems in America, and it is a problem, the cost of it is astronomical. The emotional upheaval it brings into a person's life is incredible. It's called teen pregnancy. So we've got a 14-year-old young lady. She's pregnant. She's faced with three major decisions in her life: to take the life of her child and abort that baby, to give that child up for adoption, or to face life keeping that baby at 14 years old. All because moms and dads, we have allowed our society to promote a safe sex mentality. Here's the condoms, go have fun. We did it when we were kids, so you go right ahead. And nobody's stopping to realize the consequences that it has brought to this country, the billions of dollars that are spent a year because of it, and the fact that moms and dads, you want to know what kids read? Here's their logic. Now look, mom and dad, I mean, I have counseled with family after family, person after person, and I promise you, it produces guilt in a person's life. I have seen immorality before marriage, sleeping around, really undermine the marriage to the person really wants to love. But they're not trusting anymore. They feel used. So what has occurred is that young people feel, and you think about this, you think about the logic of this, look, if we changed, moms and dads, if we changed our values on sex, and it's fun, so we changed it because we knew we couldn't keep them from it, why should they not get drunk and try cocaine? Because their friends tell them it's fun. So if in the 60s we broke that code, why in the 90s can't we break the code that drugs, okay, here's the heroin needle. Okay, let's legalize it. We'll give it to you in standardized quantities. You think that's asinine? 30 years ago, our parents thought it was asinine that you would sleep with someone before you were married to them. And our young people are confused. They are frustrated with the mixed messages that our society gives them. Whether it's television, whether it's the music industry, whether it's school, whether it's literature they read, it's very confusing. We're kind of like moms and dads, the frog who got put in the pot of cold water. The frog liked it. Someone took the pot, put it on the stove, and turned it on low. Began to warm and felt good. Turned it up a little higher, just began to warm, just a little more, felt even a little better. Before you know it, the water was boiling and the frog is floating on the top dead. And that's true, a frog will do that. That's what will happen to a frog if you try it. It's kind of what's happened today in America. We've become numbed, moms and dads, to the danger of a bankrupt moral philosophy in America, and our kids are suffering unbelievable pain as a result. There is hope. The only hope that we have to ensure that our children stay drug and alcohol free, that they avoid the pitfalls of life, is to give them a solid moral foundation and a biblical value system that will strengthen them, fortify them from making harmful, costly decisions in their life. It will protect them from the philosophies and attitudes that are ruining people's lives today. Did you know there's an old saying that says the pen is mightier than the sword? You know, that's the truth. Let me tell you why. In America, we are very concerned about the environment, aren't we? Minnesota is real concerned about the environment. We're real concerned about what we take into our bodies and our whole wheat bread and our sugarless diets and our calorie-free, cholesterol-free, and everything-free eating. Moms and dads, you know what's gutting out our lives, our families, is the mental pollution in America. It is the pollution that everyone's going, First Amendment, censorship. We don't think that about the environment. We don't think that about the body. Remember the old commercial? A mind is a terrible thing to waste. There's an old proverb in the book of Proverbs that says, the good man feeds on what is good. The righteous man feeds on trash. The good man feeds on truth. The wicked man feeds on trash. I would like to share with you some examples of the biblical values that you will find contained in the Bible that every one of us in this room, when I read these, will go, well, I like that one. Well, that's a good one. They're found in the Bible. God has given the Bible for your success. Did you know God wants you to be successful? He wants you to succeed in everything in your life. He's done everything He can to make it possible for you and I to attain. And I would like to read you this morning just a few thoughts, little phrases I wrote down. Number one, to be honest and poor is better than being rich and a liar. You ever thought about that? You know how often to get rich we have to compromise integrity. Now, not all the time, but I know many people today in America that are very, very well-to-do, very wealthy. They didn't get it all legally. It kind of goes along with my second phrase, that personal integrity is more important than selling out for success. Hollywood is full of people who sold out their integrity for success. It has become vogue today to have babies and not be married. The Joker does it on Batman. Mark Gastineau does it. Sylvester Stallone does it. Elizabeth Taylor does it. And of course, they're successful and famous, so maybe I ought to do it. That giving to others is better than getting for oneself. We live in a self-centered society that says, I don't care who I have to walk on to get where I'm going, I'm going there. That moral purity is more satisfying than momentary pleasure and the guilt and pain that comes afterwards. That's a value system that the Bible teaches. That hard work brings satisfaction and prosperity. Oh, not in America. In America, what brings prosperity is the government, you know, sending you checks, giving you money. You want to know we have an interesting phenomenon that's happening right now in this state. It's happening in states. I was just in Iowa. It's happening there. I was in Nebraska. It's happening there. And do you want to know what it is? I walk into the restaurants now that are paying $5 to $5.50 an hour. You know who I see working in those restaurants? Hustling, smiling, people in their 60s, moms in their 40s, and the mentally retarded, the handicapped. You know why, moms and dads? I visited with a restaurateur here in the cities. He told me every week he used to go through 5 employees. He said, I can't keep 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids in this place. They don't want to work. Mom and dad will give them anything they want, and they know it, and they don't want to work. They don't know how to work. We are a country, and there are major economists, people who are in the business, who are looking, economists who are looking at society going, we are headed for major problems because we have lost the work ethic mentality in America. It's slipping more and more. That loving others is the greatest virtue of all. That kindness is what truly makes a man attractive. Isn't that amazing? I heard the other day that Lawrence Taylor, his wife of many years, is divorcing him for great and unusual cruelty. He'll probably be in the NFL Hall of Fame. You know, men, you know what women want? They want kindness. You know what makes a man attractive? You know what I'm teaching my sons? Be kind, be sensitive, be compassionate. Kindness is a value system I'm sure that you want your children to grow up with. That selflessness and sacrifice are more fulfilling than selfishness. That a person's life and their value is not measured by what they have, but by what they are on the inside. But our world is always looking at the outside, aren't they? And we always emphasize on the outside. And young women today, and young men, you need to realize that anorexia, bulimia, a consuming obsession with weight is killing people today in America. Because everything's on the outside. That people are more important than things. That having the courage to stand up for what is right is better to have everyone for a friend. We don't see that today in government, do we? What do you see today? A politician will basically say whatever he needs to say to get him elected. Whatever the stance might be, generally speaking. There's no longer a concern with morality, with the ethics of it, with the rightness and the wrongness. It's just who's got the greatest clout politically? What group will influence and lobby hard enough? And we see that happening every day. And last, that knowing and loving God is the greatest joy in the world. And that's true. He's the author of life. All He wants to give you is the very best of life. Now, I know if you're like me, you think, I want my family to know that. I want to encourage and train my family in that. I want to share with you four ways this morning, four simple ways that you can instill lifelong biblical values with your children. The first is based on a principle found in the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament, and it says this, Fathers, do not provoke or exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training, in the understanding, and in the knowledge of God. What is he saying there? You see, God believes in you, mom and dad. He wants you to be successful. And what he's saying is, what will make you successful is train your children to be like me, like God. Train your children to have the values my son had. Train your children to live their life the way I live mine. Now, here's how you can do that. Number one, make the Bible a part of your life, a part of your family life. I want to encourage you to go out and get a Bible that you can understand. If anyone here likes the King James Version, that's fine with me, but I don't read it. I cannot understand it very well. I read what's called the Living Bible. If you go to Target, you can pick one up as you go through the checkout counter. It's called The Way. It'll say The Way on the front of it. Or if you go to a Bible bookstore, you can get an NIV, a New International Version. Easy to understand, and it will make sense to you for living. It's very important that you bring it into your family life. Secondly, don't begin in Genesis or Leviticus or all that. Start in the Psalms and particularly in the Proverbs. I have a little booklet here. It's called The Living Proverbs. And you can purchase these at a contemporary bookstore. We'll try and get some here for you in the future so that you can get them. They're 50 cents. My children are old enough that they can read when they were younger. There's 31 Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, there's 31 days in the month. So every day, I would sit with my children and read a whole proverb, and I would talk to them about the things contained in that proverb. Something that struck their mind. Now they're old enough, and I require that every day they read the whole proverb for themselves. So my children will take turns reading it to their brother and sister, and then they'll talk about it, and they come and we talk about it later on. But I want to show with you why I believe this is so important. I want to read you from it, from the first book of Proverbs, the first chapter, and it says this. These are the Proverbs of King Solomon. He wrote them to teach his people how to live, how to act in every situation. For he wanted them to be understanding, just, and fair in everything they did. I want to make the simple-minded wise, he said. I want to warn young men about some problems they will face. I want those already wise to become the wiser and become leaders by exploring the depths of meaning in these nuggets of truth. What does he say? What is God saying? I want you to know how to act in every situation. I want you to know how to be fair, how to be just, how to have discernment. Or like the proverb that says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and observe its ways. Having no officer or ruler, it provides for itself during the summer. So in the winter, it has something to eat. How many times have you tried to teach your children about saving or the value of work? There it is right there in Proverbs. A little example from life, the little ant. Have you ever watched how diligent little ants are? How hardworking they are? And God teaches those principles to your children through this. Learn to discuss it and interact on it with your children. Thirdly, another thing that I do with my children is I My wife basically works with my children on this. We have a little recipe card. It has little spirals in it. And what she does is she goes through here, she writes down verses for them to memorize. Let me share with you one that they were working on the other day around the table. It's in Proverbs chapter 6. It says this: young men, obey your father and your mother. Tie their instruction around your finger so you won't ever forget. Take to heart all of their advice every day, and all night long their counsel will lead you and save you from harm. When you wake up in the morning, let their instruction guide you into the new day. For you see what is happening here? First of all, God is supporting your parenting role. He's telling your children, listen to mom and dad. Secondly, you know what he's telling you? He's telling us, instruct your children, advise your children. Why? You want to know why? You want to know why I'm sharing with you what I am today? Have you ever wished you could have a leash on your child? So whenever they were far enough away, your teenager, you could just tug it? Say, no, away from that? Sure you would. An electronic beeper system that anytime they got near something you knew would really harm them, you could just zap them with about 5 volts, you know, kind of, and make them jump and think. Let me share with you how you can do that. By having and taking your family in this book. Because what does it say? It says every day and all night long. You're worried about them at night, aren't you? Oh, I can't trust my teenager. I don't worry about that. Not only because I don't have teenagers, I'm not planning on worrying about it when I do. But I want to tell you why. Because I'm preparing for that day with an awful lot of diligence. And I know that my advice, my instruction will save them from harm. My instruction will guide them into a fresh new day instead of an old boring one. Instead of one filled with regrets, filled with pain, and filled with guilt. Then it says, for their advice is a beam of light directed into the dark corners of your mind to warn you of danger and give you a good life. That's what God wants for your family. That's what God wants for you, is a good life. The good life. God is the one who can give it. God is the one who wants it for you more than you want it for yourself. He wants your family to have the good life. Secondly, emphasize character with your children. I want to share with you, in our society, the number one emphasis in America is education. Now, I want to share some hard facts with you. Fact of the matter is, we spend more money, billions of dollars, on education than we have in the history of the world. And you want to know what? We have greater problems today with children, with our kids, with life, than we did 45 years ago when we didn't spend half as much. Do you know why? It's because there's nothing wrong with computers. There's nothing wrong with technology. The problem is, mom and dad, we took values away from our children. And we took character away from our children. And we de-emphasized those things. And we emphasize that a person of knowledge, a person with a brain, a person who knows a lot, who's got 5 doctorates behind their name, is really successful. And I could tell you one pathetic story after another of situations identical to what you saw on the stage today, and it made you laugh, and it makes me cry, because I have talked to person after person in this room today, and people that I know who have been to therapist after therapist, psychiatrist after psychiatrist, and sometimes that has been their exact experience. And more times than not, the people I've talked to have walked away and said, I spent my money and I came away more hopeless and more empty. My friend, education is not number one priority with your family. Character is. Do you know why? Because Abraham Lincoln had character. Because if your child has character, your child can do anything. Education is important. I'm not saying it's not important. But character is more important. And you must emphasize that with your child. Camp on that with your child. When you think in life today, you ask yourself, where do our children learn character anyway? You know, if we're going to help our children, We've got to remove the negative influences in their life and replace them with positive influences. Now I want to tell you something. My children know who George Michael is, and they know who Michael Jackson is, and we've watched him on TV. But I'll tell you another little secret. My kids don't listen to him all day long. My kids don't feed on him. And do you want to know why? I'm just being honest with you. I have nothing against rock and roll. Obviously, you can tell that. I have nothing against upbeat music. I love it. But it just sickens me when you think about the moral philosophy of George Michael singing to your daughters, "I want your sex," and to your sons. Have you ever stopped to think, dads? You know, I got a daughter that's going to be 14, 15, and she's going to be gorgeous. Let's be honest. What's the number one thing on a kid's mind? If you watch television, the impression you get is it's sex. Think I want somebody thinking that about my daughter? No thanks. No thanks. Think I want my son thinking that about someone else's daughter or doing it with them? Robbing them of their self-respect and their dignity? No way. I do not. So moms and dads, we must remove the negative influences in the life, and we must replace them with positive influences in the life of your children. It's kind of like a computer. A computer does whatever it's programmed to do. You put garbage in, you get garbage out. You put truth in, you get truth out. We are the sum total of what we think. We are the sum total of the philosophies of life that we live by or that we allow to influence our living. So emphasize character and moral absolutes. There is right and wrong in America. There is right and wrong in life. But it's very hard to tell that today. And your kids are having a real hard time telling that too. The third thing, moms and dads, is be an example to your children. Be an example. You think back in your life to your parenting, to your growing up. What had the biggest impact on you? I know what had the biggest impact on me. What my parents did. As long as it backed up what they said, it was a beautiful picture. When it didn't, let me tell you a secret about teenagers. Let me tell you what happens between 11 and 14. Between 11 and 14, kids get real smart. You know what they get real smart to? They get real smart to parental hypocrisy. And nothing severs the relationship and divides more than you're telling the child, "No, you can't do this, we don't do this, we don't do that." But all of a sudden, it begins to dawn on them, you do the very things you tell them not to do. It's like the commercial. The young little boy, he's sitting on his bed, he's laying there listening to his Walkman, and he's drumming away. And dad comes in with a cigar box, and he opens up the cigar box, and he goes, "Where'd you get this?" And the kid's just drumming away. "Who taught you this?" And he kind of looks up, and he's realized dad's in the room. Says, "Who taught you this?" And the kid just can't stand anymore, and he rips him off and says, "You did all right!" And the commercial ends, and the dad's there with a face, just smacks him head on right in the face. You remember the old cigarette, anti-cigarette commercial? And it was a little guy whistling in the background, this little boy and the daddy. And they were by the river, and they were walking along. They sit down. Dad pulls out a Lucky Strike. Remember Lucky Strikes? Puts it in, lights up. Little thing goes, and then the little boy, he picks up the box. He starts playing with it, and he takes one out. And then the commercial dies down and says, "Like father, like son." You see, moms and dads, they may not pick up the exact things we do. See, they may really say, "I'm never going to be that way." The problem is the character quality we passed on to them, you passed on to them. It may not reveal itself in the same behavior pattern, but it will reveal itself. If you don't have self-control, your kids will not have self-control. If you're not a persevering, patient, happy mother and father, positive, your children will not be happy, positive, patient. But if you are, they will. They'll see the value of that in living. Let me just give you one little principle from the Bible. It says, take out the log from your own eye, and then you can see very clearly to take the speck out of your child's eye, out of your brother's eye, out of your mate's eye. You've got to get the log out of there. Then you can see clearly. The fourth thing is come to Evergreen Community Church. This church is designed absolutely exclusively designed with your success in mind. If it doesn't relate to your success, then we'll close down this church. It is designed to help you be a successful parent, a successful husband, a successful wife, a successful student, a successful working individual, career individual, to give you the tools, to give you the guidance that we need, all of us, the support in life to make it and make it with flying colors. Secondly, it's designed to aid and supplement what you're trying to do with your children. We care about your kids. We care about you. I care about you. I'm a parent. I know the things you're facing today in life. Brent knows the things you're facing. And we are committed, this ministry, to work exclusively for you. To build your children. To give them a solid value system and a biblical understanding. But never, Mom and Dad, to take your place. We can't take your place. You are the very best parents that God could have given to your children. You're the very best. The very best. And I don't ever want you to forget that God believes that you are the best parents for your kids. So He gave them to you. He gave them to you. And you... It will be very difficult to put this all together because the most important ingredient about everything I'm going to talk about is December 1st, that weekend, that very first Sunday of December. Just another note, I've been meaning to say this the whole time during the series. All of the things that we do here are taped. That's why we usually have the lights out so you can just pay attention. You can go back and get the tape and go home and study it, think about it. But everything we do is taped. So in case you're wanting it and you think, oh, he's talking way too fast, I can't get this, that's all right. You just relax, enjoy the service, it's back on tape. Thank you very much for being here. We have refreshments in the cafeteria afterwards I'd like to invite you to. And I'll be in the hallway, I'd love to say hello to you or meet you afterwards. Let's just bow our heads, thank the Lord for our time today.